crazy. You've got all these words inside of you, trying to get it from here and hoping that it comes out to everyone in some kind of sense and flow. So I really need the Lord's help and His anointing to for that to happen. Word I want to share this morning, and something it has to do with, I think, an area that I know for myself that I've dealt with from ever, pretty much all my life, from the time before I knew the Lord to I accepted the Lord, to my walk with God. And I'm just assuming that maybe other people feel the same way, so I'm hoping this message will be for someone. If not, it's for me. Sometimes I like to preach myself happy. I don't know if you've ever done that or not. You get down and you start quoting God's word and His scripture. And when you start doing that, I don't know, there's a joy of the Lord that just rises up inside. And anyways, that's how it's been this week. Because there's a question, and this question has a huge effect a lot of times, I feel, on my praise and worship to God, on my drawing near to God, in my prayer time, in my relationship in general with God, and how He relates to me, and I to the Father, my relationship with others, it even affects stepping out and do things that God's calling me to do. And even receiving from God. A lot of times, this one question seems to affect, like, even like healing and financial blessing and instruction in my life. And trusting God when trouble shows up. And that one question is God angry with me? I mean, let's face it. I've messed up a lot in my life. I don't know if anyone's like me, but I'm not perfect. And it's really evident, before I accepted the Lord, that I haven't been perfect. And even after I accept the Lord, even though I'm trying my best to walk with Him, walk with the Spirit, in the Spirit with Him, I don't always get it right. So it leaves that question sometimes. Is God angry with me? And what do I have to do to get back in His grace? Get close to Him. Because obviously when I'm close to Him, that's where I want to be. Because I don't know about you, but when you're close to Him, it's just precious and sweet. So what I want to do is, I'd like to try to answer that question for us. And one of the places I like to do that is start with God's character. I thought if I can understand what God is like and how He reacts with us, with me, maybe it will help me understand or answer this question. Is God angry with me when I mess up? And how, and if so or not so, how does that affect? So I want to go to the Word this morning. Before I do this, I just want to pray. Father God, I just thank You and praise You for this opportunity. I just ask You that Your anointing would come forth and this Word would touch the hearts of those over here. And that we would be blessed by Your Word, Your written Word this morning, in Jesus' name. Okay, I want to turn to, if you have your Bibles, if not, then you have to trust me. It's 1 John chapter 4, 7 through 21. Intentions isn't to keep anyone long, but I don't have all this today. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. This is love. Now that we love God, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and His love is made complete in us. We know that we live in Him and He in us because He has given us of His Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. In this way, love is made complete among us so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment, because in this world we are like him. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he is a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And he has given us this command: whoever loves God must also love his brother. In the scripture, you start to see a character trait that's going on. And sometimes we think of God, and he is. He's our Father, Heavenly Father. Depending on the father relationship you had when you were growing up with your father, it may confuse your thinking, so to speak, about our Heavenly Father, because how we relate a lot of times to our Heavenly Father is a reflection on how we've related to our earthly fathers. Well, sometimes us earthly fathers don't always set the best example. We don't always walk as God walks. But one of the main character things I want to point out here is in verse 8 and 16. It says clearly that God is love. His character is God is love. Okay? You could say this is his nature. If God has DNA, I don't know if he does, but love would be his DNA. This is a character trait of God. And then in 15 and 16 it says, if anyone acknowledges Jesus as the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God. And so we know, means we're knowing God and we rely on the love God has for us. In our relationship with God, we're going to get to know him, and in that, we're going to rely on that love. Now, before I get into this love that we have is by grace. What that means is we can't earn it. We can't buy it. We can't purchase it because it's been purchased for us. It's by grace. I'm still having a hard time figuring out and understanding the full impact of grace. Grace, one aspect I thought I've been told is God's riches at Christ's expense. And one way that is because Jesus, when he died on the cross, paid the price for us. It was a price that none of us could afford to pay. Be like trying to pay off a national debt in this country. One person can't do that. Okay, it's that big of a price. So I'm gonna flip over to, let's try to get to understand this love and what it's like. Let's flip over to 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7. Remembering, as we read this, scripture in 1 John says, God is love. Okay, this is character, this is DNA, this is who he is, his very being. God is love. Okay, I'm going to interject a little bit here and replace love with God. It says love is patient. You could say God is patient. If God is love, God is patient. How many times do we need patience in our life? A lot of times. I know I do. It says love is kind. God is kind. You might say, wait a minute. I've read about this God that was angry all the time with Israel in the Old Testament, and there's always judgment and things and all this stuff going on. That's true. But I want to say that was B.C., before Christ. Because since the cross, and he rose from the dead, this is a new world with him. God is all about love. Because Jesus said, if your question is, Jesus said, if you see me, you see the Father. When Jesus walked this earth, was he all about anger and judgment? He said, I didn't come to condemn the world, but to save the world. He said, so if we walk through life looking at Jesus, we see a character, we see the heart of God coming out from Jesus everywhere he went. It says, love, God does not envy. God does not boast. Love does not boast. Love is not proud. It's not rude. God is not rude. God is not self-seeking. That is a big one to learn. So many times we get wrapped up in our lives and stuff, but think about God. He is not self-seeking. It was evident in the death of Jesus on the cross. He gave his most precious thing, that was his son, and he died for us. You know what? And he did that without even considering, without any guarantee that we would go turn to him. He made the open up the door, the access for us to come to him and walk with him. But he didn't have, there was no promise that we would do that. But he still laid down his life for us. Love is not easily angered. God is not easily angered. Love keeps no record of wrongs. God don't keep records of wrongs once we come bring it to him. He says, I forgive and I forget. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects. God always protects, always trusts. You know, God always is trusting us. It says, always hoping, always perseveres. He is persevering and hoping and trusting in us. It's not because of our performance. It's because of Jesus. Then it goes on in the next verse. This opens up, love never fails. You can say, God never fails. God never fails. His love never fails. You know, love is the most powerful thing in this universe. I'm convinced of it. Because you can take the most dreadful situation a lot of times and inject love into it, these character traits, and it'll diffuse the situation. A harsh tongue won't. I'll get even, you won't. But kindness. And that's how God approaches us. It's not by judgment that he's winning us over, or by fear that he's winning us over. It's by his love, it says, is where he wins us over. And it says that love is made perfect in us because, well, he is in us. We have perfect love in us, and that love is perfect. And it says, perfect love casts out all fear, because fear has to do with judgment. With him part of our life, it removes fear. Our key is to believe that and trust him, that he's there. And we trust and believe him, fear is obliterated. We want to have peace. Let his love absorb you. It's just an amazing thing. And I'm still learning this. Excuse me, I'm very thirsty this morning. The Lord also says, no greater love has a man that he laid down his life for another. That's John 15:13. And Jesus demonstrated that. He laid down his life. He was a demonstration of no greater love. You think about even the men that fought for this country. They laid down their life. For whom? For others, for us, for today. There is no greater love. Because love never fails. God never fails. He will never fail us in life. Our walk with Him never leave us nor forsake us. And maybe it's an amazing thing that I found is in Romans 8, 37, 39, where it says, nothing can separate, pull apart us from His love. Separate, pull us apart. I'm going to flip that real quick, Romans 8. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels, demons, neither the present or the future or any powers, height or depth or anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That love of God, the reason it can't be separated is because it's part of Jesus. It's not about us doing everything right. It's not about us getting everything wrong. It's about Jesus, the love of the Father to Jesus. And all we are doing is we're stepping into that, in the midst of that love, and participating with it. We don't deserve it. We can't earn it. It's all because of the grace that is granted to us through Jesus. There's nothing we can do in our own strength to win God's favor, His grace. Jesus already won that all for us, the grace. Access to His grace is earned by faith, not by our works. For our works are nothing. It says it's as filthy rags. No matter what good we do, it ain't going to be enough to earn it. It's all just believing in Christ. And if it's faith, we have access to His grace and not by works. Could we maybe say that maybe our works are going to just obliterate? God still loves us no matter what. Now, yes, that doesn't give us this grace doesn't give us a free ticket just to live out our life, doing our own thing when we want at any time, because we've been purchased by it with a price, and we are His. We aren't our own. We are His. But come on, think about it. When you really can get the grasp of someone loving us that much, how do we really want to live contrary to what He desires? I mean, think about it. If someone's constantly being kind to you and nice to you and treating you as love says, and that's to God, that's how He treats us, could you disrespect them and do things that they wouldn't want? Obviously, if Frances is doing something nice to me, I want to do something nice back to her. Maybe you'd feel the same way. Think about it. If someone does something nice, the first thing you want to do something nice to them. Well, that's God. He's kind towards us. He gave us everything. He desires, that's His heart. He desires to be kind and gentle and long-suffering towards us. Why wouldn't we want to serve Him with all our heart and please Him? Someone that is that kind, that loves us, that's who He is. This love, once we understand His nature, the fear of failure and rejection kind of leaves. Because we're going to be accepted. So now the fear is gone of whether we're accepted or rejected. We're accepted in Christ. And we are left with the peace that comes from His presence. Did you know that God sings over us? He sings over you. You know that? He rejoices over you with singing. I'll look at Zephaniah real quick, 3:14-17. This is kind of a prophetic word I see for the church. It says, sing, daughter of Zion. A lot of times the word the church is referred to as Zion. It says, shout aloud, Israel. Be glad and rejoice with all your heart, daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away your punishment, has turned back your enemy. The Lord, the King of Israel, is with you. Never again will you fear any harm. On that day they will say to Jerusalem, do not fear Zion. Do not let your hands hang limp. The Lord your God is with you, the mighty warrior who saves. He will take great delight in you, and his love will no longer rebuke you, but will rejoice over you with singing. Jesus loved you so much that he was rejoicing over you with singing. Isaiah 62:5 says, the Lord rejoices over us. That word rejoice, think about this. God is rejoicing over us with singing. You get the picture how he looks at us. It says, rejoice is being joyful, happy. He's pleased, be glad, be delighted, elated, ecstatic. God's ecstatic over us. Can you picture this? I mean, I don't know. Sometimes I grew up kind of this religious God, and I really didn't think of him being ecstatic when he looks at me. Now, maybe you guys are different. Maybe you can see that, but I've struggled with that. And rejoices with joy, being thrilled, being on cloud nine, being in seventh heaven. You realize you bring that much joy to God? Think about how your children make you happy. Even if they don't do everything right, you're still thrilled. And you look at them and joy wells up in your heart. Well, our Father's like that. If you get a picture of Jesus this happy, and when we worship and pray, does it make you want to worship and relate back to him? I mean, come on. Think about it. Here's Jesus walking up to you, singing. He's thrilled to see you. He grabs you by the hand, gives you a big hug, and starts spinning you around because he's so joyful to see you. Are you just going to stand here like this? I can't. No, you're going to like start dancing and singing with him and entering in with his joy. You're starting to understand that, remember, my whole thing is, I'm trying to answer, is God angry with me all the time? Because not according to the word. Now, there is a day of judgment if I reject God. But God's not here about judgment. He's here to love us. That's what he's here for, is to love us. This one. So, as I'm getting this picture and realizing he's not angry at me, then all of a sudden, it's easier to believe that he wants good things for me. Healthy, strong, prosperous. John, 3 John 1:2 says, above all things, desire that you prosper, being healthy, and that your soul prospers. Now, here's part of this whole love thing is he wants us to love as he's loved. That can be a tough one. Especially if you're not. I'm practicing that. That's a daily thing. The only way I can even begin is just keep meditating on his love for me so I can somehow reflect that love. Letting that love engulf me so much. He says, love another as I have loved you. I like Ephesians 5:1. It says, and there be imitators of God. I read this thing in the Message Bible. Anyone of y'all have the Message Bible? It's pretty cool. I typically read the NIV. And the NIV for me was a real blessing probably 20, 25 years ago. When I really started to turn my life over to God and I wanted to read. And I don't know, I was never really good in school with English. And then you start adding thus, now, the King James Version that most of us grew up with in church. And I was handed here. Because I said, God, if you want me to read, you gotta give me the desire to read and understand your word. And out of the blue, not too long after that, someone handed me an NIV Bible, New International Version. And the simplicity of everyday English in there put that desire to read that I had asked for. God knew what I needed that day. So there's a lot of different translations out there. I'm not here to preach on one or the other, but I know the NIV has been a blessing to me. Anyways, the message says in Ephesians 5, chapter 1, says, be gentle with one another, sensitive. Forgive one another as quickly and thoroughly as God in Christ forgave you. Wow. God was quick. And he didn't only partially forgive us, he thoroughly forgave us. Not just a little bit. He forgave us completely. And he was quick to do it. Watch what God does, then you do it. Like children who learn proper behavior from their parents. God wants us to imitate him, be like him. It says here to watch what he does and then do it. I love this. You got it. Mostly what God does is love you. I just love it. Mostly what God does is love you. Think about that. He's loving you. That's the first thing he thinks about. If it's mostly, that means he's not loving you just a little bit of the time, most of the time. Keep company with him and learn a life of love. How are we going to learn a life of love? We're going to keep company with him. Just keep company with him. We read his word. We spend time in prayer. We worship him. We praise him. We put some Christian music on. And if it wasn't for Christian music, I don't know what I'd do. I just love it. If I'm feeling down, I can put some praise music on, and it just changes my whole demeanor. It gets me focused on. And if you want to change the Molly Grubs, as I call them, being depressed, is sing along. Because if you sing along, you're singing words of praise and adoration. It's to him, but all of a sudden he starts pouring love out onto you. And nothing else matters. No matter what the trouble is, I think that's one of the biggest things. No matter what the trouble is, when you realize he loves you, nothing else matters. Observe how Christ loved us. Read the four gospels, you start seeing the love of God coming through us through Christ. I like this. Listen to this. His love was not cautious, but extravagant. He wasn't cautious when he loved us. He isn't cautious when he loves us. He puts it all out there. He puts all risk out there. He's going to pour himself out completely, whether we respond to him or not. How many times have we tried to love someone, but we kind of hold back? Because we're a little bit concerned about how they're going to respond to us. We don't want our feelings hurt, so maybe we'll just kind of put a love feeler out there, see if there's any kind of response. God just waves right in and says, I love you. He's extravagant. Some of the definitions of extravagant is lacking restraint. He's lacking restraint when he loves us. A lot of times extravagance referred to in this world as wasteful or costing too much, buying stuff that's not worth its value. We don't deserve that love. But he's extravagant. He's extravagant towards us. That just blesses me to pieces that he looks at us this way. He didn't love in order to get something from us, but to give everything of himself to us. Love like that. That's how it is. Love like that. He set the example, and he wants us to love like that. You realize, if we would love like God loves us, if we would allow his love to come into us and go out, you realize how the world would be transformed. You realize how lives would be transformed. If we just get a revelation that in our life, how that would transform our own life, and then we would go out and express that love to others. Extravagant love is going to save the world. Extravagant love. Even in our own relationships, I could go back to, I was married before and divorced, but if I would have loved my first wife extravagantly, what do you think might have happened? So I responded back. Extravagant love responds back with extravagant love. It can't help itself. Extravagant love, I'm thinking of extravagant love. It's hard to see extravagant love being angry. And this love comes through Jesus, and expression is released to us from the cross. This love isn't because we're perfect, it's just because he loves us. Because he loves us. On his love, he can't help himself. God cannot help himself. He just loves us. That's what he is. And he's asking us to allow that love, allow him to get that deep within us, that we will go out and love the world. How do you think he loves the world? He calls the church his body. He's the head, we're his arms, hands, feet, and everything. And he's wanting us to express to those around us the love that he wants them to know, how he feels. If we would do kindness, love is not stationary. Love is an active word. It's a word of action. It's not element, but it's more of a verb than just an element. It has to do with action. It has to be something being done. So it's twofold. God's not going to ask, think about this. God is a good father. He's not going to be the type of father that says, you do what I say, not as I do. God is not like that. God says, you do as I say because I'm doing. You do as I do. Not as I say. I'm going to do as I say, but I'm also going to demonstrate it in your life if you allow me. Now you go out and demonstrate that to those around you. Those people that I bring into your path. Those people that in your everyday life, you're just living your life, and he brings people into your life that don't know what love is. I was just reminded yesterday, so many of these secular groups, if you really listen to the lyrics of songs, they're expressing a heart cry that they're looking for. You're all probably familiar if you of the 80s song that Foreigner sang, Show Me What Love Is. When you listen to those words, I was listening to that, I wanted to hear it, and I listened to the lyrics of that song. I could hear, who's that name, Pulse, what's the name of that singer? Anyway, it don't matter. I could hear the heart cry of his soul. What is love? I know you can show me. The world's using that, you know, he's wanting a little girl or something, but his soul is crying out. And that's the world. They're crying out, what is love? They don't know what love is. They've never experienced love if they've never experienced Christ. And the first place they're going to experience Christ's love is through us, because we're going to ooze with God. If we're oozing God, we're oozing love. First, we've got to believe he loves us. He's treating us with kindness and patience and long suffering. And he's not rude toward us. He's patient. I hope this word's helped someone maybe ask questions as they're walking out their life, like I have many times. You know, not me not do something right. And I right away, you know, well, I can't go to God in prayer. He's angry with me. He's got to be. I mean, I did this. So now it's like, okay, what can I do to maybe convince myself that I deserve to come back in his presence and feel his love again? And the answer is I can't do anything but just run to him. Say, Jesus, forgive me. That was wrong. There's nothing in this world that I could ever do that would win his favor back. It's just walk with him. There's just nothing that can separate that love. Nothing we can do is going to separate that love. It's kind of funny. There's that song that I think Bill Graham always had played, just come as I am, just come as you are, just come as I am, or whatever. So many times I can tell person that doesn't know Christ, oh, just come as you are. But then all of a sudden, once they've come just as they are, with all their problems and issues, then we want to say a week later, well, why aren't you all fixed up yet? You know, you got to get fixed now. You can't come just as you are. You got to come fixed up. And that's not true. Keep coming just as you are. God, in his love and his time, is going to fix you up. I don't love one yet. If there's anyone in here that has never experienced the love of God in their life, I would invite you. I'm going to have Doug play a song. And or if you just want to revisit his love again because you've maybe for years thought he's been angry with you, come forward. And there's someone here that pray with you, or just let God's love pour out on you this morning. If you have to leave, that's fine. You're dismissed. But if you just come forward and experience this.